Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Blog Talk family of words from the word. This is our Friday Fellowship of Learners coming together and looking at Abide in Christ by Andrew Murray. We're at week number 28 or step or unit or chapter 28 in his book Abide in Christ. Good morning, good morning. We're so glad you joined us on this beautiful, sunny day. We thank God for it. And as the song just said, there is no greater there is no greater power than His. And so, as we look at the final weeks of Abide in Christ, and we receive the understanding of our John scripture that the book is based on, and we see it from so many different perspectives, John 15, 1 through 12. God knows by now we probably should have memorized it. However, anyone that hasn't, in any of these versions that are like easy read versions, can we hear our opening base scripture that the book is based on, John 15, 1 through 12.
I have the living Bible.
Okay.
It says, John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He loops off every branch that doesn't produce, and He prunes those branches that bear fruit for even larger crops. He has already tended you by pruning you back for greater strength and usefulness by means of the commands I gave you. Take care to live in me and let me live in you. For a branch can't produce fruit when severed from the vine, nor can you be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a large crop of fruit. For apart from me, you can't do a thing. If anyone separates from me, he is thrown away like a useless branch, withers, and is gathered into a pile with all the others and burned. Verse 7, but if you stay in me and obey my commands, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. Verse 8, my true disciples produce bountiful harvests. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Live within my love. Verse 10, when you obey me, you are living in my love, just as I obey my Father and live in his love. 11, I have told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your cup of joy will overflow. And verse 12, I demand that you love each other as much as I love you.
Amen. 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 And as she read, and some versions don't use the word strength, but I would imagine that's about the second verse. Can you read the second verse again, Elder?
Yes, ma'am. It says in here, L-O-P-S. Do I pronounce that loop off every branch? In this version, it says L-O-P-S. Is that looped, lopped? He loops off every branch that doesn't produce, and he prunes those branches that bear fruit for even larger crops. That's verse 2.
Okay, go to 3. Which verse uses the word strength?
Verse 3. He has already tended you by pruning you back for greater strength and usefulness by means of the commands I gave you.
That is it. Read it one more time.
He has already tended you by pruning you back for greater strength and usefulness by means of the commands I gave you.
Amen. That is where our lesson powers from. Oh, just read one more time.
He has
already... 'Cause I want us to get it.
He has already tended you by pruning you back for greater strength and usefulness by means of the commands I gave you.
Now, in our reading, I don't know which version I think this is, but it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken into you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. And so what I need us to see in this, especially in the different versions, I don't know if someone else has another version of that third verse, so we can see how it reads in a different version. Anybody else have anything other than the Living?
I have a Message Bible, and it says,
okay, what is
in
it?
The third verse says, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken.
I have Amplified.
And what does this say?
Bear with me here, my eyes. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you.
Okay. And that's what I need us to see. And I love this, the reading of the first one, because it incorporates a concept that the author brings out in this 28th week, and that's strength and where our strength comes from. And it's very clear when you hear it in the Amplified, and even when you compare it to the other versions, of the fact that the strength comes from the word that's spoken into us. And that is, who is the word? Everybody say it together.
Jesus.
Who's the word? Yes,
Jesus
is the word.
Awesome.
Yes. And so I love that. I love it, you know, because it's something that we read over and it sounds glorious, but there's so much power in the living of it that we miss until we really look at what he is saying to us. And so life becomes a lot simpler when we understand, as the author says, you know, as your strength, when we understand strength, when we understand this concept of the vine and the branch. When you think about, and remember, God uses this analogy of the vine and the branch throughout. And I think we need to continue to make reference to it so we can understand some of the elements and the process and the development of this truth that as we abide in Christ, what becomes ours. And so when you think of the
overseer,
I think of the daisy. Yes.
Good morning. I'm in my car, but I looked at the ASV. It actually uses the word clean.
Oh,
is that
clean.
Third verse? Clean.
Uh-huh.
For
clean. Great.
I think yours says strength. It says already ye are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. That's the third verse in the American Standard Version. Just an FYI.
Yes, I love it. Because we will understand what clean means for a vine that's engrafted in, for a branch that's engrafted into a vine, okay? Remember, we have to be disconnected from some source in order to be, we were cut off, from another source, the negative source, the bad source, we were cut off. We were separated from them, it, our life of sin, of darkness, and we were engrafted into this new life, this true life, which is Christ. It's divine. So there are things that are going to be inside of us that needs to be cleaned out, because the wrong things and ideas and influences and if you just want to call it death sap was flowing through us. And so as he, the gardener, the gardener, God, prunes us with the word of God. And when you prune a plant, you cut off the bad parts and the parts that are shriveling up, the parts that are no good, the parts that may be producing something negative, the parts that are not forming the way they should. They're forming kind of distorted. You cut those off so that the flow from the good vine is not impeded into the branch. And so when we think about a branch being engrafted into a vine, the vine has to have a certain level or a certain measure of power to hold that vine, that branch, within its body, because its body has been opened up and the branch has been put inside. So it has to have a certain level of strength and power to grasp that branch and hold it firm. So, I love this. And so, what he is showing us is that this channel, and he tells us before how God, Christ's love, this was the first time, I think he when he was talking about the love of God, love of Christ, okay, he said this was the first time that this love, entered into human form. This was the first time this level of love, and I don't know why I can't find it, I know it should be highlighted somewhere, entered into the channels of the heart of man. It first time was with Christ, okay? And so we see here that this is a flow, a literal flow that has to happen from Christ to us, and it happens through our abiding. And so as this new life, this life that is focused on the love of God that leads to the will of God and the presence of God. Okay. As it flows, it has to be cleansed from any blocks. Yes. Yes.
Were you looking, what you're looking for, is it in our book?
Yes, it's in our book. Oh, here it is. It's
on page 220.
No, it's on 205. Oh. It says, okay. God became man, and divine love began to run in the chambers of a human heart. It became the love of man to man. The love that fills heaven and eternity is to be seen in our here daily on earth. And so that love that's running through the channels of our human heart is coming from Christ. And that's where the author is going in his presentation of as your strength. And he says, in order for this life to go through, okay, this strength comes from the word of God, who is Christ, because that's what transforms our thinking. That's what has to become the greatest influence in our spiritual development. And as that word flows through the branch becomes the strength or has the strength of the vine filling it. And so the author often talks about a feeble strength because of the relationship that has not been established as well as it should be between us and Christ. And so he uses the scriptures, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And remember, this is that love that's flowing that has always been in earth, in heaven and eternity, now must come in time and space, on earth and now. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and my power is made perfect in weakness, which are the three scriptures that the author uses. And so we see where the strength is in the Lord. And I love it because a couple of things he transitions into from strength to power. And so I thought about it. I said, now, is strength and power the same thing? And so I just wanted to look up, see, you know, what dictionaries and whatever says. But it says that there is a difference between strength and power. It says strength, yeah. Where did I put it at? Okay. Well, it says, strength is the amount of force you can produce, and power is the ability to use it. Okay, so strength is the amount of force that can be produced. Remember, this is what is being produced in us through the Word of God. That's our strength. Now, power is our ability to use this strength. And that's sometimes where the disconnect comes, because we have the word, but we don't feel empowered by it. And so the author is sharing with us the fact that that power comes when we understand, first of all, where the power, the strength comes from. And so we have been taught by society to glory, if you will, in our strength. Not in our weaknesses, but in our strength. And so that's a concept that has to be transformed. God works in contradiction. And so it's hard for man to sometimes understand that the very thing we've been taught is good is bad. So if you glory in your own strengths, then you will not want to relinquish those channels in your heart to the Word of God, because it doesn't seem like it's going to produce what you want. It's not going to look strong, but rather it looks turn the other cheek. Excuse me? If they ask for your coat, give me your cloak. You know, so nothing that sounds like that force or positive power, it sounds like weakness. And what the word is sharing with us is, trust me, because the gardener is doing this, as the scripture says, God is doing this and he knows what he's doing. You can have confidence in knowing what he's doing. And so if it's a weakness, it's okay. It's actually good if it's your weakness. Because in your weakness, as you become weak to that which you were a part of, you'll become strong into where you are being taken. And so it's so hard sometimes for us to not be side seat drivers. We figure we need to be, you know, God needs me to do this. No, he needs you to not do this, which is why he prunes and cuts off some of the things that will get a truth. And I think of those things that he cuts off as those things that we were able to produce in our own strength. And though it may seem like a good thing, it's not a God thing. And because he knows that the end thereof is the way to destruction and death, he cuts that off so that we do not cling to it and then go amok, going to the left or to the right, but rather staying in the flow of what the Word of God says, which is why we can't pick and choose which part of the word we want to embrace and which part we think is not really that important, when it is all a part of what the gardener will use to transform us into the strength of Christ and to display the power of Christ in our life. And so there's several things the author shares with us, you know, and it's we need to know, what is strength? What does strength look like in me, in my mind, in my understanding, and what does strength look like in the eyes of God? And the fact that, or what my strength looks like in the eyes of God. Which throughout is saying that, you know, how Paul, you know, he'd rather glory in his and rejoice in his weaknesses, because that means actually the weaker I am, the more of that life sap I get from Christ. Not only do I get it, I start to long for it because I absolutely have to have it or I'll go limp and I'll fall off. You know, you ever seen a daisy? The minute you pluck it, it'll stand straight. But the minute you pluck it, it starts bending over. It starts withering. It starts to lose its strength. And that's what happens, which is why Paul said, so I will rejoice in my weakness, because as I, you know, start withering over, then that means I am crucified. I am dying daily. And the life I live in the faith of the Son of God, who gave his life. He gave his life. He gave it to me. He gave it to me through my connection in his wounds, in his side, being engrafted into him. And I wanted somebody to look, read that scripture, and I believe it's Galatians 2 and 20. I hope that's what it is. In one of the other versions, if somebody could get it and kind of read it, you know, so that we can hear the wording of that and associate it with what we're learning here today. As your strength being his, and then the fact that in his strength become okay, that's, you got it.
I had to amplify, but I think Minister Pat is on.
Oh, go ahead. You can write it. You can read it in amplify. I'll read it in the message.
Okay. The Amplified says 2 and 20, Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And when it says I live by faith, it says by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Okay, let's hear the next.
And the Message Bible, and the 20th, sometimes you can't tell where it starts, but I identify myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that.
Amen. Amen. He gave himself for me, and he gave himself to me. He gave himself to us through our abiding in him. And so the life we live, and that's what the author shares, it's not in you any longer. It's his life lived out through you. I love the part of the scripture, lesson, and actually it's highlighted so much, it's like maybe just read the whole thing. But I'll start on page 220.
Yeah.
It says, omnipotence was now entrusted to the man, Christ Jesus, so that from now on, through the channel of human nature, it might be put forth its mighty energy. And so now we see where that strength now is connected to the power. That's what put forth. That power is now put forth. He connected with this revelation of what he was to receive. He, meaning Christ, was to receive the promise from God that all power would be in his hand. And because of that, he shared that his disciples would have it as well. When I am ascended, ye shall receive power. So he sent it. It is the power of the omnipotent Savior that the believer must find strength for life and for work. So in other words, you know, the strength, the power will is the energy behind the strength, which is the ability to, I love it, to live holy as well as to serve God. And it says, it was thus with the disciples. For 10 days they worshiped and waited at the footstool of his throne. So I can imagine as they worshiped and waited, they were remembering everything he said, all of his words of teaching, all of his examples, all of his parables, all of the truths that he and the mysteries that he gave to them. He said, and it says they worship, and they did this for 10 days. Now that's a retreat and a consecration. And they waited at the footstool of his throne. They gave expression to their faith. And remember, the life I live is no longer mine, but I live it in the faith of the Son of God. And he says they gave this faith expression in him as their Savior, to their adoration of him as their Lord, to their love of him as their friend, and to their devotion and readiness to work for him as their master. Jesus Christ was the first object of thought, of love, of delight. In such worship of faith and devotion, their souls grew into intense communion with him upon the throne. Now remember, with him upon the throne, they became so connected, and the intense connection, remember, we're engrafted, and we're engrafted in him, and he's sitting on the throne where he has been given all power. Now, we're engrafted, so we've gone into an intense communion with him. That's why we take communion. We need to remember that we are engrafted into Christ, and he is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he has all power in his hands, which will give us the ability and the strength to do what he did. It was the power within and power around. So there was no place that his power isn't. And that's one of the things the song said. There is no greater. There's nothing outside or beyond him. Everything is beneath him, and he has power over it all. It says the power came to qualify for the work to which we have yielded ourselves. The power came to qualify us. And so, in other words, we may have had the strength, okay? We had the ability, we had the word, we got all of that, but we did not have the power, okay, the energy, the power, the authority to activate the strength that we had. And that's what qualifies us for the work to which we have yielded ourselves, of testifying by life and word to an unseen Lord that the world will now see through us. So our life becomes the testimony and becomes the word of God, as we often say, lived out loud. With some chief testimony was to that of a holy lifestyle. That's how we live it out loud, through the power that has caused our strength, which is the word of God that flows through us, to then manifest itself in holy living, revealing the heaven and the Christ from whom it came. The power came to set up the kingdom within us, to give us the victory over sin and self, to fit us by living experience to testify to the power of Christ on the throne and make men live in the world as saints. And so as this beautiful, beautiful relationship blossoms and blooms and goes according to the divine plan of the gardener, this is what is going to start unfolding on in the earth. This is how the kingdom of heaven will come on earth as it is in heaven, because we're engrafted with Christ, who is sitting in heaven with all power and the ability for our strength to now become the influence of the world. And that's this whole thing about the seven mountains. The seven mountains are seven areas of influence in every person's life, in every nation's life. There are seven areas of influence. And if we are not the major, if you will, strength and power in that area, then the influence is going to come from whoever is. And that's when we find out the enemy that's over a particular area of influence and is in the position to create an environment that is an abomination actually to God. And unless we're in that position, then heaven will not come on earth until we have in a communion with his power and his strength. And only the strength is the word. That's what's flowing from him to us. Praise the Lord. And it's for holy living and effective service. But the first thing is holy living and then effective service, because our living first becomes our service. And then from that, it says those who are faithful over a few things, you know, he'll give you rule over many. And then he can then entrust in us the service that will reach out to other people. We can't reach out to them if we have not ourselves learned or surrendered to God's process to engraft his word in us, so that we're clean and purged by the word that he put in us, and then connected through an understanding of the relation of the vine to the branch, and the fact that the branch, the vine, sits now in with all power next to the God of all. Oh, insight.
Overseer.
And your yes.
Would you say that again? Holy living and what?
Effective service.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, absolutely. Anybody else in their reading?
And Overseer, when you was speaking on John 15:3, and I think you said easy to read version. For that scripture, it said you have already been prepared to produce more fruit by the teaching I have given you, and that prepare was interesting for strength and clean. So.
Yes, exactly. And think about it. Even you've been prepared. In other words, he's saying that he is cleaning out the influence that was upon your life, and he is establishing the Godhead power and influence on your life. The influence on your life now becomes the Word, and that's what makes us strong. It says, you know, your truth, you know, the truth will set us free. So we're no longer bound. We're able to have see some of the definitions of the word strength. I thought was very interesting. Let me make sure I'm not mixing up. Yeah, strength. Strength is sturdiness. It's a vigor. It's a might. It is courageousness, bravery. All of this is strength, sturdiness, firmness, toughness, soundness. It's sound mind now. And you're able to endure. This is what strength does. Strength. Potency. No, you become powerful through strength. Powerful, indicating you have the ability, you have the toughness, you have all of the, what do they call them? All of the characteristics that you need. And that's what we get from the Word of God. Those characteristics of Jesus Christ become our characteristics. And then when we attach to, he says, in the power, know him. What is the thing is, you're strong in the Lord. In other words, you got him. I got him. I'm in him. And I have been made strong in him. And then it says, in the power of his might. Now you're able to use that strength based on his might, and his might, because he overcame, God gave him all power over heaven and earth, so that there, I don't know where it says, there's nothing, it was the power within us and power, all power around us, which means we should look at certain things a little different. We'll get a God's eye view of what really can't harm us. I used to enjoy the scripture, I do and still do, deliver thou me from secret faults, and let not presumptuous sin have dominion over me, have a strength or a power over me. And then it said, and then I will be free from the evil. And it's like, how can we be free from evil? But it's from that evil influence. From that evil, influence around us, you know, I'm free from that way of thinking. I'm free from that deception. I'm free from those lies, really they are, that make us think I can do this. You know, God. Well, this thing anyway. I don't know who came up with that, but. You know, I have a strength, you know, it's me, and it's not me, and it never will be, which is why we fall. It's why we become frustrated. It's why we become discouraged in our walk with Christ, because we don't feel we're strong. And I keep failing. He said, I know that you will. I have your answer. I am your answer. Don't you try to do it. How many people say, well, when I get myself together, then I'll come to the Lord. You'll never get yourself together, and that's a lie of the enemy, because the only way it's going to happen is if he gets you together by the gardener pruning you, by you abiding in Christ so that you will have the truth flowing through the channels of your heart, of your mind, of your thinking, and then have the power of your understanding coming from your knowledge of who Christ is and the fact that he has all power, that he is sitting at the right hand of God, and so therefore he's given that power to me. And he's not going to give that power to a person that is not strong in him, because that power would destroy them. So we have to have his word in us. We have to have the strength of the word. We have to be cleansed by his word. We have to be pruned by his hand and allow those things that he is cutting off of us to fall off and not try to grab them as they go down and pluck them back in. And so, or hold on to them so till they start growing in another area and become a place of shame. Any more?
Minister Paulette.
Yes.
Me. I've looked at this word many times, but every time I see it, I can't, formulate the meaning. Could you elaborate? On, it says, the power came to set up the kingdom within them, to give them the victory over sin and self, to fit them by living experience, to testify to the power of Jesus on the throne, to make men live in the world as saints. In this section, could you define or elaborate on kingdom for me? Because I've looked that word up a lot of times, and it always throw me for a loop.
Kingdom?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. I believe
to set up the kingdom within them. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. To set up the kingdom, I'm trying to look so I can quote it, set up the kingdom within them. Because,
yes, ma'am.
Okay. To set up. When you look at a kingdom, think of it as a nation. Actually, it's more than a nation. But think of it as a world. I say a nation because it's probably easier for us to grasp as opposed to a world. But if you're into science fiction and aliens and that sort of thing, you can think of it as a world, okay? With the world, it comes a language, I'll just say nations, it's easier that way. Okay, so the nation of France, it has a culture.
Mm.
It has a language. It has a government, and it's totally different from America, okay? It has a product that it produces. It has a certain culture that their music sounds different. It's all different. Okay, that's the establishment of France. Somebody was somewhere, got in a boat, went somewhere, and they created the nation of France. And when they did create the nation of France, France in and of itself is a kingdom. It is a place where a king ruled. Literally, when they first set it up, with some king, I don't know, whatever. And so that king then picked the army. He established holidays. He established what was acceptable and what was not. And so it was established, the nation of, or the world of France, especially back then when it was first established. Because nothing existed, okay? It was just, land with probably nobody on it till the first boat came and they got off and they became there. So when we think of kingdom, and that's what Christ had a hard time with his disciples explaining it to them because they didn't understand that either. But he's saying that my kingdom or my world, let me introduce you to my world where I come from, basically is what he's saying. Now, his world, his kingdom, his place of habitation before he was born and came down to earth was actually everywhere. He got it like that. But his world functions very different from our world. And the reason it functioned different was because it has a different king, and that's Satan, pure and simple. And Satan has people who are, Satan has influences, okay, into the life of everybody born into his world. And that's if you're born into America, the earth, okay, then that's the king now. He's ruling. He's rampant. But Christ saying, when he came, he says, now you have an opportunity to be a part of a different world. Now, you may not see the world physically, but that's just like you don't really see Satan's world physically. You see the result of Satan's influence around you. And that's what affects you. But Christ is saying, I want to introduce you to where I came from, where my world is, and what we do there. Now, where it's going to be established is like it's going to be hard because you're going to be in this world, but you're not going to be of this world. You're going to be of my world. And when you're of my world, we think different. First of all, we got a king. It ain't him, the devil. We got a king. We have a whole different language. We have a whole different culture. We have a whole different set of governing laws. We have a whole different set of even what entertains us is different. And so my world is different. Now, I can put, because this is how much power I have, I can put my world in you. And all of those things, you'll have my language, you'll have my my laws, my rules, you'll understand my team, the principles that drive my kingdom. I can put them inside of you. And because I have more power than Satan, okay, he won't be able to do anything with you. Because I will empower you wherever you go to establish, and I won't say establish because that's a word that, you know, don't really make sense, but to live according as though you're in heaven. Now, how do you live according as you're in heaven? Okay. There are some things you don't believe anymore. There's some things you don't do anymore. There's some things you don't say anymore. But then there are some things you realize you have more power than. So, deliver thou me from secret faults, and let not presumptuous sin have dominion over me. Okay, they're not going to have dominion over me anymore. Now, I'm going to be free from the evil, which is this world. I'm free from this world because I don't have to regard anything in it because I have something else I can regard that I value higher and that I've come to understand is more powerful than this world. Now, I also understand that it is patience. I got to trust, and because I don't see it with my eyes, which is why I need a God's eye view so that I can see God's kingdom. And that's how you can look around the world and see the things in the world that are of God, because now you have a new sight. You don't see like you used to see. And so that's that kingdom being formed within you. That's why you become peculiar. That's why you become you crazy. That's why you become, it don't take all that, what is your problem? Because now you're not living by their rules and laws and their world and influences. You're living by another set, and they don't understand that because they're still influenced by the other world. I hope that kind of gives a little, insight.
Yes, ma'am. That was very clear.
I never looked at it like that, but I, you know, I always have trouble with that word,
yes.
Kingdom, you know, when it's used in different, you know, different material and stuff. But that's very good. Thank you.
And, you know, I think, too, this is one of those things, I love it, because kingdom really is a biblical word.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, there can really only be one, because there's only one real king. And
mm-hmm.
so every time anybody other than someone making reference to God is trying to use it, they're going to use it incorrectly, or they're going to distort it because it's going to be a deception. Maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And deceitful things become confusing to people who are getting the light. So once we start seeing a light, and we start looking at some stuff, it's like, well, you know, that don't even make sense no more. I don't understand it. You know, because now the light is on it, and it really doesn't make sense. But for other people who are still in the darkness, it's like, well, that makes perfect sense to me. It's like, okay. You know, but that's because you're functioning on a different set of influences. You have been programmed a different way. And though we're not being programmed, and that's what I love about God, okay, we're being cultivated in a relationship, you know, not just told what to do and bullied, but rather loved into an environment that is based on love.
Mm-hmm.
And centers around actually our needs.
Right. Because I think I had asked Bishop one time about that word, because it's used in different by Jesus in the Bible at different times. And so I was saying, well, what, you know, when he says his kingdom, something he says about the kingdom, I can't think right now, but he uses it in different ways. So
yeah,
I was wondering, well, okay, well, you know, what does he mean here and here? And so then the author used it here. So thank
right.
you. That's I appreciate it.
A very familiar hearing, and we all know it, thy kingdom come.
Mm-hmm.
But then
and
we hear that the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yes. And you know what? And think about it. It's right at your hand. It's the word.
Mm-hmm.
It's right in your hand. Kingdom of God is at hand. It's in your hand. Read it. You know, he said, did you read my book? It tells all about my place of dwelling. Also, it says the kingdom take it by force. It's like, well, what does that mean? It's like everybody...
Yes.
That is functioning under the word of God, which reveals God's world, okay, will take back violently because they're no longer afraid. They're no longer influenced by the other enemy. And that's the whole thing. I think that the power and strength indicates that there is a struggle that's going on, and we have been equipped to win the struggle. We've been given the strength to do it and now the power to do it. And so probably in the Old Testament, they had the strength. The disciples, they had the strength. They had the word, but they kept falling short. But then he gave them, he said, don't go nowhere, just stay here. So as they worshiped those 10 days, and as they realized and worshiped him in love and in delight and in, you know, in holiness and all that he had ever said to them, then he gave them the power, okay? And that is the power of the King. How was that? The King and all of those that are his subjects.
The time is now 10 a.m.
Hello? Hello?
I don't know what that was.
Somebody was getting ready to say something. Excuse me, Overseer. Hi, good morning, everyone.
Yes.
This is Arnetta. Hi, Minister Arnetta. I like the fact of how God used you to break it down so simply and eloquently, because it can be confusing when you're not of God's world and of God's kingdom,
mm-hmm.
because His word says His kingdom is not meat and drink, but it's love,
mm-hmm.
joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So He gives the characteristics,
mm-hmm.
and He gives what is supposed to line up with His word. And if it doesn't line up,
mm-hmm.
He gives it even in such a simplicity that even a child can understand it. That,
mm-hmm.
you know what, a little kid, to sit up here, you come out here, we raising and training the children up, and we can be off and having one of those moments, and your child will say, but Mama, Auntie, that's not joy. And all of a sudden, you'll snap back. The light bulb will come right back on. And I thank God because as God will use the simple things, as He's so awesome to draw us into being more sensitive with Him in His presence and in that worship, I truly thank God for, you know, the fact that He would give us to sit in His presence and in His worship, you know, His fullness. You get endued in His word, and it really does strengthen you, and it takes your mindset from the wrongful things, so we can get caught up with these different things and bamboozled sometimes and not even realize
Absolutely.
It.
And I think that, and you know, I won't even say not even realize it. The problem is that when we get in a place where what should be isn't, then we question it. We question what should be because we're in this place, the house of God or wherever, we were Christians or whatever, whatever, but they're no different from the world. So you wouldn't understand, you know, joy and peace. You would understand it, but as you have been influenced by the world because we have not embraced His way. His way is the way of the cross. And people just ain't going to embrace that right away. Okay, His way is the way of suffering. We went through the lessons on that suffering, on that that way of those that suffer with me will reign with me. You can't reign with Him unless you understand the suffering that has to come because that's a part of being in His might. That's a part of what made Him strong. That's a part of what verify His strength, quite frankly, and will verify us, will bring us to a place where we get a confidence in knowing what He can do. Because other than that, we keep trying to do it for ourselves and we fail. And so our confidence is shaken because it's in the wrong thing. It's not, it's in that, that's why He said you can't sit on the fence. You got to either be in my kingdom, under my, or in my country, or in their country. You can't be across the, walk the border. Okay, you got to either go to the one or go to the other because the ways are so different. They are so different that you cannot embrace one and hold on to the other. You can't. And which is why all of those things are saying, it's like, you got to lose your citizenship in the kingdom of the world in order to get your citizenship in the kingdom of God. And how you lose it, you're cut from it, you are crucified, you died to it, you are crucified, and you are buried in baptism, and you rise in the new kingdom. Ah, I am now a king's kid. Okay, I'm now a child. I got a new family. You could think of the kingdom as a family, but it's even so much more than that. because his kingdom encompasses the universe, the angels and the cherubims and all of the animals. That's part of his kingdom. Actually, everything we see that man has not made is part of God's kingdom, that he is allowing the enemy to walk in. And the reason he allows it is because we ask for the choice. We are like the children of Israel. We wanted a king. Okay? And so we wanted it actually to be us in the garden. We already had. He wasn't a king. He was just so much more. There isn't a name. He's a Yahweh. He's the I am. But we wanted something that we could identify with. And as a result, we took what was perfect and got a distortion of it. And now we're dealing with it. But he didn't leave us subject to it, which is why he sent his son.
Overseer.
Yes. Yes.
If it's all right, because another term also is the enemy of this world. He's the enemy of this world, the prince and power of the air. But as we come into God's kingdom and accept our places in him, accept that we have to carry the cross, we have to die daily, and the eyes of our understanding become enlightened through the washing of his water, of his word, then that light shines in that mask that the enemy had. It's no longer mass. We're able to see the way God wants us to see. Am I saying that and understanding that correctly, right?
Yes. And that's all a part of, you know, once we view, and I appreciate you, Elder, you know, bringing it up, you know, but once we view it, we get a God's eye view of it, a lot of scripture is going to make more sense. A lot of scripture is going to be more palatable, I'll put it that way. You know, it'll be more understood. I know the more I've studied in this book, the more I understand scripture that I've read before for years and years, and I knew what it said, but I didn't have the full understanding. I still don't have the full understanding, but I have a better understanding of what he was communicating when he shared that scripture. Even this third verse in the 15th chapter of John. And I understand that better now than I did before. And so we do. We thank God for the ministry of writing and the scribes that put forth revelation into words, into books, so that the generations can read them and be blessed. And we pray for those who are scribes in this dispensation, that they will also do the same and be encouraged to do it and not discouraged, and bring forth a truth in written form for generations to share. And so we have passed our hour. If there are any other comments, questions, insights, or revelations you receive as we're coming down to the last three units in our book. We sent out the green letters, so you should have it in the digital form. We should probably start it on November. Well, I don't know what the date, but the first Friday in November. And so we are excited about that and in preparation for that. So if there be nothing else, we pray that you will enjoy your worship. And talk to you next week. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
There's power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.